Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. I just want you to know, if you're struggling, there's hope. If you're ready for a change, there's a better direction. And if you've given everything you've got and it still doesn't seem like enough, you don't have to wait anymore to find peace. In fact, that's what we're going to hear from Richard today as he reminds us that there's a God that truly loves us right where we're at. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The topic we're going to do now is start a New Year's, not resolution, but revolution. If you think that's a misprint, it's not. Let me give you, I will talk a minute about some resolutions. Let me give you just a few of my list. I'm going to try to start smoking this year. I'm going to try to start drinking, too. I'm going to eat more fried food, watch more TV, drive faster, charge more of my credit cards. I'm really working on that. I've decided I'm going to really work hard on trying to complain more. I want to complain more. I want to waste time this year. I really feel led to waste time this year. And the last one I'm going to share with you is that I just feel led to spend less time with family and friends. Does anybody have anything near that for New Year's resolutions? Probably not. You know, I got to thinking about this. I thought, you know, people don't do negative New Year's resolutions. And then I thought, you know, I think they do probably. I mean, nobody ever writes these down or verbalizes them, but, you know, I'm going to get back at my ex this year. You know, that's probably like one of those. There are probably more retaliation than resolution, I think, maybe negative things. But one of mine, I better mention this one. I decided to lose about 10, 15 pounds, so I got me a bowl of Bluebell ice cream and went and sat in my recliner and tried to figure out how I was going to do it this year. I was over at the YMCA a week or so ago, and the guy over there said their number one push time of the year for these health clubs is New Year's. I mean, they do specials. If you watch the TV ads and things, you'll see a lot of advertisement for these health clubs because people make all these resolutions and join, and then they don't show up. Interesting stuff there. All right, what is the difference in a resolution and a revolution? If you resolve to do something or you did something that was just revolutionary in your life, and what is something, once we get to the revolutionary stuff, what is something you could do that if you really stop and think about, even if you didn't make it a resolution, something you think, you know, if I did that, that would revolutionize my life, my job, my home, everything about my life. What would it be? Think of something. Yes, sir. Pray an hour a day. That'd be revolutionary. Stop watching TV. I saw a girl on TV while I was in New York who had made a commitment last year to not watch TV. I'm like a 12-year-old girl. I hadn't watched any TV for an entire year. And said she had read more and done a lot of things more, I guess. Not watch any TV, all right? Anybody else? What would be revolutionary in your life? Get out of bed on the first buzz of the alarm. Now, that would be revolutionary. Gosh, that sounds awful, though, doesn't it? Or set the first buzz earlier. That's the trick to that. If you want to do something mean to somebody in the middle of the night, now, why do I think of these mean things? Get up after everybody's asleep, go through the whole house, change all the clocks, and set the alarm for whatever time it is, and then just watch them get up and go. Anybody else? What is something to think about it? Revolutionary. Yes, ma'am.
Minister to someone else.
Minister to someone else. Reach out to somebody else. All right? That'd be revolutionary. What else? Yes, sir.
Pay one compliment a day.
Pay one compliment a day. All right? What else?
Stay out of shopping centers.
Would that be revolutionary or miraculous? I think there's two categories. It's a whole other category right there. All right, what else? Yes, sir.
Forgive all the people who have ever wronged you.
Forgive all of the people who have ever wronged you. Now, I almost did today on that very thing, on forgiveness. I'm going to go to another one here in a minute, and it'll tie into that. But forgiveness alone, guys, would revolutionize most people's lives. There are people out there, there are people who are dead today that you still hate and will not forgive. Now think about that. There are people who will not forgive dead people. The dead person is not suffering anymore physically here with that problem. You're the only one paying. Forgiving somebody, a kid who's done you wrong, an ex who's done you wrong, a boss, a coworker, a friend, someone who betrayed your trust. Think of that person, that situation, if you just forgave, how that would just release you, release them. And we are going to talk about this grace in the next few weeks a little bit in that regard. All right, forgiving everybody. I'd say don't worry about forgiving everybody. Just start with somebody. Because once you get the first one done, you'll realize the benefit in going to the next person. And somebody might say, well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know the facts. It doesn't matter. You're right. It does matter. It makes it difficult. But you're the one that's going to pay in the long run till the day you drop dead if you don't let them go. Anybody else? Forgive everybody. What else? Anybody? What would be revolutionary? Yes, ma'am.
Not worry.
Not worry. Okay? That's huge, isn't it? That'd be revolutionary. Now, some of you say, well, I don't worry about anything. That may be her deal. She may worry a lot. And y'all got different stuff. But there are things in your life that you could do that would be absolutely, would revolutionize your life, your church, your home, your work, everything about it. I'm going to give you two illustrations, and I'm going to take this passage out of Hebrews 11. And if you know anything about Hebrews, you may never have read it in your life, but Hebrews is a faith chapter. And it talks about faith and how important that is and what it is. And it cites people of faith in this chapter. And I'm going to pull two out of here to cite what I think would be revolutionary. First one is in Hebrews 11, verse 7. And it says this, by faith, Noah, and I think a lot of people, Noah's Ark's pretty popular out there for children's cribs and all that kind of stuff. So you probably know what Noah's Ark is. But Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. And you can go back over into Genesis chapter 6, and God said, basically, I've had it. Enough's enough. I've created man. He's just wicked. He's just gone off and done what he's going to do, and I'm going to wipe them all out. But there's a verse that says that Noah found grace in God's sight, and God decided to spare Noah and his family. And God told Noah to do something pretty bizarre, folks. Noah didn't live at the beach. Noah lived inland, and God told Noah to build a boat that was seaworthy in the middle of dry land, something completely preposterous, foolish, where he would be ridiculed by everybody. But what did he do? He obeyed. And God comes along in your life today, and whatever it is you were thinking about or whatever it is God's been stirring in your heart for whatever period of time, and he says, look, everybody may think you're nuts. Nobody may understand this, but I'm telling you to trust me and obey me and just do it. Now, guys, obedience is revolutionary because we spend so much of our time disobeying and we suffer the consequences. And it's amazing if you got kids, these kids will teach you some stuff about obedience. What makes things so smooth at home is when little kids obey. You say, do this, yes, daddy, and they go do it. And you're like, oh my gosh. I don't have to get any spoons out or rattle anything in the kitchen. They just did it. We love obedience when someone is obeying us. But when kids obey and you see disobedient children, what happens to you? You think, gosh, what a kid. And God says, well, it's interesting you'd notice that about you and these kids. I've been trying to talk to you about that between you and me forever. How do you think I feel? When he knows what's best, and you're talking about not being angry with your kids, sometimes I discipline them, but it's more out of anger, right? Have you ever done that? You're just frustrated about something else and you twist off and boom, they pay. God never does that. When God disciplines his children, he always does it with your best interest at hand, and he's trying to get you to do the right thing because it's the best thing for you, for him, for everybody. And if we just obey, things would work out a whole lot better than they do. That's revolutionary. So what happened to Noah? You read down, God said, build this boat, boom, boom, boom. It gets down and it says in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, after God had told him what to do, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. How simple. God speaks, Noah listens and obeys and does it and starts building a boat. It's insanity. And the world will say, why do you spend so much time going to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you write a check to your church? Have you lost your mind? Why don't you go spend it on yourself? And God leads you to do these things, and you do them, and people out there think you're nuts. But what happens? When you obey, God blesses you. You may not end up being the famous or rich or whatever it is the world says is supposed to happen, but if you go to sleep at night with some peace and some joy and loving God and loving yourself and loving other people, that's revolutionary. And that hits other people's lives. So Noah did what God told him to do. The next verse in this same chapter, right after Noah, God talks about this guy. By faith, and each one of these says by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. God said, I'm going to give you an inheritance. I've called you to go out to this place. But listen to this next phrase. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, what if God told you, you're praying, you're doing your hour prayer thing, whatever, how long you pray, you're in your closet somewhere, you're reading the Bible or just driving down the road, and all of a sudden a voice inside of you says, go home, pack it all up, and move to Seattle. Just go. That'd be revolutionary. Of course, I think you got to talk to your family about it before you just, you know, pack everything. But if all of a sudden you were told and somebody said, go, and you didn't know where you were going, you just said, you know what, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And he said, just go. I'll take you where I want you to go. It takes a lot of faith. And Abraham, if you read the account of Abraham, he was a rich guy. He had land. He had flocks. He had all kind of stuff. But he said, you know what, God's told me to do this. He's chosen me. He's called me out. I'm going to do it. And by the way, neither one of these guys are preachers. You know, don't be reading stuff in the Bible's not there. A lot of what goes on in the Bible, David wasn't a preacher, he was a king. He was a little shepherd guy. That's what he did for a living, raise sheep. And God chose him. Solomon was no preacher. He was David's son. There's plenty of business people in the Bible that God talks to and they obey and everything changes. There are huge ramifications, whether it's Noah, whether it's Abraham. And we say, yeah, but those are people in the Bible. They're big dogs. You know, they got picked and got written about and all that. Let me tell you something. You are just as important. You say, well, what difference does it make whether I do the right thing or not? If I obey or disobey? If God tells me to do this or not do that? Let me tell you something. If God tells me to do that and my family to do that, and we talk about it, pray about it, and then we say, you know what, God? No. Our answer is no. You say, oh, well, that's no big deal. Nobody's going to be affected by that. You think it makes a difference? It makes a huge difference. Because if God is working in my heart telling me to go and do what he's telling me to do, then God's working on the other side trying to get people. If he's providing a place for people to come that are searching for God, they're crying out to God, send somebody, help me. And there's nobody there to be there when they need an answer. Then there's a vacuum there that God was trying to fill. Now, you say, yeah, but you're a preacher and all that. Let me tell you something, folks. I was in business for 10 years and had people sit at a conference table in my office. I've held hands with button salespeople and seen them pray and say, God, come into my life. Change my life. Don't give me all this stuff about it. It's for preachers. If you're breathing, it's for you. And you're either going to click along, doing some job, drawing some check, being safe and quote-unquote happy and wondering why your life seems to be blowing by, or you say, you know what, God, what is it you're telling me to do? That if I would just obey, if I would just trust you, and by faith step out there, it would change everything. Now think about what that is. Don't think about all the things, just one thing. What is one thing that if you just trusted him, had faith and stepped out and obeyed him would change your life? You got that thing in your head? You got that in your heart? See, for some of you, it's this. For years and years, for some people, God comes knocking on a door in your heart. Let's tap on your door. Some friend says, go to church with me. Come to a lunch with me. Go to this Bible study with me. Go to a concert with me. And they're praying for you, what? That you'll hear that voice, that tap on your door. God's saying, look, I'm not going to kick your door down. I'm not going to barge in here. I can't make you do anything. But I'm telling you, I love you. I got a plan and a purpose for your life. I let my son die on a cross, be buried and raised from the dead so you could live forever, but between here and heaven, just open the door. And you've heard that knock. You know what? It'd be revolutionary for you to just reach down and turn that knob in your heart and say, you know what? Enough's enough, God. I believe you love me. I believe Jesus died for me. I don't deserve anything. But if you're telling me you're offering me eternal life as a gift, I'm a taker. I'll receive that gift and I'll ask you to come in. Now, that'd be revolutionary, wouldn't it? That's changed my life doing that. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but it's made a huge change just doing that. That may be the thing you're supposed to do. But for other people, forgiveness. Has anybody struggled with forgiveness? Everybody probably has at one point had to struggle with it. And for some of you, cutting somebody loose, namely yourself, would be a revolutionary thing this year, and you'd fly again, you'd soar, by simply obeying what the Holy Spirit's telling you, who lives in you and wants to live through you, but you get clogged up by not letting somebody go. Now, you've had a chance to think about this a minute. What else that you could feel comfortable, or maybe something you've heard about somebody else might be appropriate for them? What is there that would be that revolutionary? What is it you think, you know what, specifically, there's something I'm supposed to do? I know it's going to take some guts, but until you put into action what you think about and what you hear, your life will never change. You'll just have more knowledge. And what I pray for you is that you'll do something about what you know, because that's where your life begins to change. Yes, sir?
Be more of a servant.
Be more of a servant. How could you specifically be more of a servant?
I can, especially in my home, I can help my wife. I can help her with cleaning up the house, taking care of the kids, changing diapers.
Changing diapers, helping with the kids, helping clean up the house. You know what, guys? That's when your Christianity, when this God thing gets practical and tangible. See, the difference in a resolution and a resolution is something you intend to do. A revolution is created by doing something you intend to do. That's when things change, because he's feeling that and he's honest and thinking that. But I'm going to tell you something. If that man goes home tonight and tomorrow and the next day and says, you know what, I'm going to do it, and starts cleaning up and changing diapers alone, that'd be pretty revolutionary, I can tell you. That'll open your nasal passages too, by the way. But if he goes home and does that, his wife is going to be changed, isn't she? She's going to get a new husband. Not that he hadn't helped at all, but something's going on in his life. Respond to those things. What else could you do? Anybody? Yes, sir?
Get out of debt and increase your giving.
Get out of debt and increase your giving. Let me give you my name and address if that works out. Get out of debt and increase your giving. That'd be revolutionary for him personally, but also the way God would use those funds to help other people out there where he'd give. Anybody else? Yes, sir?
Become a spiritual leader in your home the way God intended for you.
Become a spiritual leader in your home the way God intended for you. I'm going to tell you something very personal that we've talked about for a long time. It is one of the toughest things in the world, and I have no idea why, for a man to pray with his wife. I have no idea. I think it's one of the devil's prime tactics. I've never seen anything like it. Now, I'm being very vulnerable and very honest. But guys, if we don't address some of these things and acknowledge some of these things and do something about them, your life is not going to change. I'm telling you, they'll be burying you, and it'll be too late. Anybody else? This is good stuff. Yes, ma'am. Stop procrastinating. And you've been sitting here all day waiting to say that, haven't you? I'm sorry, that was a low blow. All right, stop procrastinating, putting off something you should do. All right? I apologize, that was really mean. It's a gift. Anyway, anybody, this is good stuff. Trusting God that He will meet your needs. If I ask for a show of hands that financially you don't know how you're going to make it, I bet you we'd have lots of people. I've been there.
Needs, decisions
you got to make. How to handle kids. They're going through rough stages. What else?
Dying myself every day.
Okay. Wrecking yourself dead every day. Let God live in you. What else? Listen to my husband more and actually hear what he's telling me. And guys, that's an honest woman if that's something she's working on. A lot of times when we're talking to one another, we're formulating a rebuttal instead of hearing what someone's saying or deciding what we're going to answer and defend ourselves. All right, anybody else? Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Tithe faithfully. And for some of you who don't know what the word tithe means, it's, well, now some of you are laughing, but I'm telling you, I had a girl last night, didn't know what a Gideon Bible was. You know what? Let me say this parenthetically. Be very careful not to assume that everybody in the world knows what you know. We run more people off from Christianity because we either alienate them, we have all this jargon and stuff we talk about, and they don't know how to talk this stuff, and we blow them out. They feel so stupid and ignorant. They're not stupid. They just may be ignorant to those things. Be very careful. I had a deal last night that was almost blew somebody away. Anyhow, what else?
Stop being judgmental of people who don't measure up to my standards.
Stop being judgmental of people who don't measure up to my standards. Unbelievable. You know, it's encouraging to hear somebody else talk every once in a while and see you're not the only one struggling with something or trying to make an attempt to do the right thing. What else? Commit to daily Bible reading. Just get up in the morning and read. It's powerful stuff. It's unbelievably powerful stuff. All right, let me wrap it up with this. Whether it's Noah, whether it's Abraham, whether it's me or you, resolutions are great, but they don't change anything until you do them. And one of the best things you can do, one step at a time, don't try to take a whole list of things and implement. Take one thing at a time and say, God, you know what? What is it you want me to do? Let God make your list of resolutions out and say, okay, God, let's put this one down the list. He says, no, this is first. And you say, well, you're talking about all this subjective, ethereal, kind of out there stuff. Let me tell you something. If you just get still and quiet long enough, I promise you, you know what the number one thing on your list is. This isn't complicated. Whether it's allowing the life of God to come in your life, that may be the first thing, or whether it's obeying Him in a certain issue, don't try to get rid of the issue. Say, okay, God, I'm either willing or unwilling to do this, and if I'm unwilling to do something about it, then at least pray this, God, make me willing to be made willing. I'm willing, give Him something to work with, and every day when He says, okay, let's work on this, then do it. And when He prompts you, do it. Obey Him. Don't just think about it. Put it into action. Now, where does obedience come from? Trust. What's trust? It's faith. Let me read you one other verse, and I shut it here, but let me read you the verse that is before Noah and before Abraham up here in Hebrews 11. Here's what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You will never please God without faith. Why? For he who comes to God must believe that He is, number one, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You will never please God without faith, and what God asks you to do will require faith. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to step out and say, God, I can't figure this one out. I can't see it. It seems absurd. It seems impossible and ridiculous, whatever it is, but I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to obey You. I'm going to do it. It's the Nike deal. Just do it. That will change your day, your week, your year, your life. But just do it. Don't talk about it. Do something about it. But you're going to have to believe that He is what He says here, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's on your side. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. But it's always better His way than ours. So just do it.
Richard will be back in a quick moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. I mean, let's be honest. Life isn't just about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have some deep hurts and struggles. Well, I want you to know that we get it and want to help in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. So even though our program is heard by people all over the country, we care about you. 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now, back to Richard Ellis with a final word on today's show.
It's always amazing to me, God, some of the things that are said, and I'm sure the things that you hear that are never verbalized, but that people think and just don't feel comfortable speaking out, Lord, that if all of the thoughts and resolutions and decisions that could be made in a room like this, Lord, could literally change dozens of lives, hundreds of lives, homes, businesses, work environments. Father, there's just no end to what can happen. If we will just obey You, our lives would change. Wives, husbands, children, things that we can implement, just simple things, God, at an intersection like this today, that we either say no again and go our own way, or we say yes and we obey, and see that You really are a rewarder of those that diligently seek You and that trust You and believe that You are and that You have a plan and a purpose. And especially today, God, for those that this whole God thing seems so confusing and maybe a little absurd, but something stirs in their heart and they say, you know, I got to find out more about this or do something about the decision I know I have to make. Give them the faith and the courage today, Father, just to say yes and to receive that unbelievable gift of eternal life that's offered through Christ and His life, His death, burial, and resurrection that provides eternal and abundant life between here and heaven. We love You, God. We thank You for loving us. And I pray that our lives would not be religious, but they would be about a relationship we have with You that enables us to communicate to others that they too can have that relationship. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, share with someone about the change they've made in your life. It might just do the same for them. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you, as well as how you've been able to share them with your friends. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the fun and valuable pages we've put together just for you. richardellistalks.com. Finally, we have a great text alert feature where you can get each of Richard's daily talks right to your phone. All you need to do is text RICHARD to 56316 and you'll get them each day. Until next time, thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.